Okay, welcome to the deep dive. Let's start with something I bet many of you have felt. You spend time online, maybe watching videos, tutorials, talks. You feel like you're really absorbing it, you're nodding along, maybe even taking notes. But then later, maybe even just a few hours later, how much do you actually remember? It's that classic feeling, right? Information just going in one ear and out the other. It can be, well, incredibly frustrating. Like you're filling up, but nothing's actually sticking.
Oh, absolutely. It's a super common experience in, this age of endless content. We're swimming in information, but collecting information isn't the same as, well, learning it, true integration, making that knowledge part of you that often feels just out of reach.
Exactly. So today we're diving deep into something that might help fix that. It's a really interesting personal learning hack from Rob Van Linde. He wrote this great article called Some People Just Watch Videos. I pause them. I torture AI with endless questions. And that's exactly how I learn.
Torture AI. I like that framing already. It suggests something much more active than just watching.
Right. So our mission today is to unpack this whole process. How does he turn passive watching into powerful knowledge retention? And importantly, how does AI become this key partner in making it happen? We're looking at a method that promises not just, surface understanding, but really getting it, internalizing it, transformation even.
And that's the exciting part. This isn't just about remembering more facts. It's about shifting from being a passive consumer to an active participant in your own learning. That's where the potential for real change lies.
So let's start with that frustration Rob Van Linde felt. He really nails the problem. He describes himself as a passive online learner, doing exactly what we talked about, watching, nodding, maybe jotting things down, but then hitting that wall, realizing how little I actually remembered just hours later.
That delayed realization, it's painful.
Yeah. He calls the usual way we learn online broken in one way. He said a lot of the value was getting lost in the ether. Does that sound familiar to you listening?
I think it resonates with almost everyone. We have this incredible access.
An infinite library of knowledge, as he puts it.
Yeah.
It's all there. But the default mode is just consumption. We consume it, not engage with it.
So what's actually going on in our brains when we do that? Why does just watching or listening often fail so badly for long-term retention?
That's a great question. What is happening, or maybe what isn't happening?
Well, what's fascinating and maybe a bit counterintuitive is that our brains aren't really like video recorders. You can't just hit play and expect the information to be perfectly stored. For knowledge to actually stick, to embed itself, your brain needs to actively work with it. It needs processing, interpretation, connecting it to stuff you already know, building pathways.
Okay, so it needs effort, mental
Well,
effort.
exactly. Cognitive effort. When
Right.
you're passively watching, nodding along, you're not really forcing your brain to do that heavy lifting. There's no sort of struggle, no active construction of meaning. It feels easy, but because it's easy, it often doesn't create those strong, lasting connections. Think about hearing a cool story versus trying to tell that same story back to someone else in your own words.
Ah, okay. The retelling forces you to organize it, understand the structure, find the right words.
Precisely. That requires much more mental work, and that's what helps lock it in. Passive watching just doesn't demand that level of engagement.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
It's not enough for the information just to be there. We need to wrestle with it, interact with it. Which brings us right back to Rob Van Linde's solution, his personal hack. He talks about this point where he just finally got fed up with the lack of retention. Enough was enough.
The breaking point. So, what was the shift? What did he do differently?
It starts simply. When he's watching a video, the moment a question, any question, or even just a thought pops into his head, he has pause.
Simple enough, interrupting the flow.
But then, here's where it gets, as you said, really interesting. He doesn't just ponder the question. He immediately opens a chatbot. He mentions using Gemini, but it could be others. And he starts firing questions at it, but not just simple questions.
Not just what does this word mean,
Yeah.
kind of thing.
No, exactly. He calls them deep, probing inquiries. He stresses the type of questions. He asks for examples, analogies, alternative viewpoints, and clarifications. He's digging. He wants the why and the how, not just the surface level what.
Ah, so he's using the AI to explore the nuances, the connections, the context.
Yes. And he describes this really vividly. He calls it forcing a conversation. He even says it's almost like he's a sadist torturing an AI for knowledge.
Okay, that's memorable. But it captures that intensity, that active engagement. He's not letting the information just wash over him.
Not at all. He's grabbing it, interrogating it, turning what was a monologue, the video, into a dynamic dialogue with the AI.
And this interaction, this dialogue, this is really where the magic happens for learning, isn't it? When you shift from just receiving information to actively questioning and discussing it, even with an AI, you fundamentally change your relationship with the material.
How so? What's the mechanism there?
Well, think about it. By having to actually formulate those why and how questions, you're forced to first check your own understanding. You immediately identify, wait, I don't quite get that, or how does this connect to that other thing? You spot the gaps in real time.
Right. The act of asking reveals what you don't know.
Precisely. And then the AI provides that instant feedback. It offers explanations, examples, analogies, whatever you ask for. It becomes this immediate loop.
Right.
Question, clarification, deeper understanding. You're actively constructing meaning moment by moment. This activates critical thinking. It forces you to apply the information immediately, making it much less likely to just, you know, slip away.
It really turns the AI into a kind of infinitely patient tutor or sparring partner.
Exactly. A tireless expert you can grill relentlessly without feeling embarrassed or like you're holding up the class.
Okay, so that's the core interaction.
Yeah.
Pause, question deeply, get clarification. But Rob doesn't stop there, right? This torture session is just the first part. He takes that newly gained understanding and does something with it. This is where he creates what he calls a powerful learning loop.
Ah, so it's not just about the input and the questioning. It's also about the output, creating something new.
Yes, that seems crucial. Can you walk us through what he does next? How does he solidify that knowledge from the AI chat?
So he describes a two-step creation process after his Q&A with the AI. First, he takes the entire chat history, all those questions and answers, and uses it as raw material. He then prompts the AI, like Gemini again, to help him structure the key insights and takeaways from their conversation into short, sharp blog posts.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So he's using the AI again, but this time to help synthesize and organize.
Exactly. He's essentially collaborating with the AI to distill that potentially long, complex discussion into a concise, coherent piece of writing. It forces him to review the material, identify the core points, and structure them logically.
That's step one. What's the second step?
The second step is pretty cool. He then takes those articles he just created and uses another tool, he mentions Notebook LM, to convert them into podcasts. And get this, in three different languages.
Three languages. Okay, that's dedication. Yep. But the principle is clear. He's transforming the written output into spoken output.
Right. Think about that whole journey from passively watching to actively questioning to synthesizing in writing to then articulating it out loud, potentially for others.
It's a complete cycle. So if we step back and look at that whole loop, what are the key learning stages happening there?
Well, you can really see three distinct crucial stages if you connect it to sort of learning theory. First, he processes the initial information. That's the pausing and deep questioning phase with the AI. He's breaking it down, understanding the pieces. Second, he synthesizes it. That's creating the blog post. He's pulling the pieces together, finding the structure, creating a coherent whole from the dialogue. And third, he solidifies it. That's turning the post into a podcast. He's reinforcing it through a different modality and arguably preparing to teach it.
Ah, that brings up that old saying.
Exactly. You don't truly understand something until you can teach it to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he's just making the podcast for himself initially, the act of structuring the information as if for teaching, articulating it clearly, that demands a very high level of understanding. It forces you to internalize it deeply. Creating output is an incredibly powerful learning tool in itself. This whole loop really maximizes that effect.
It really does sound incredibly thorough. And Rob himself points out that his hack isn't accidental. It taps into some core learning principles. Can we unpack those a bit? What makes this method work so well from a learning science perspective?
Absolutely. His approach is like a practical masterclass in applying proven learning science. There are a few key principles at play. The first one is multimodal learning. Notice how he moves across different formats.
Yeah, video first.
Right. Video involves visual and auditory input. Then he moves to text, reading his chat with the AI, writing the blog post. That's engaging different cognitive processes. Then he goes to audio again, but this time creating and potentially listening to his own podcast.
So visual, auditory, reading, writing, speaking, listening. It's hitting multiple senses and modes.
Precisely. Our brains seem hardwired to learn better when information comes through multiple channels. It's like creating several different mental hooks or pathways to the same information.
Yeah.
If one pathway is weak, another might trigger the memory. It makes the learning more robust, more resilient.
Okay, multimodal learning. What's the second principle?
The second one is reflection. This is huge. That simple act of pausing the video. And more importantly, formulating those deep probing questions for the AI. That is active reflection.
It's stopping the flow and thinking critically about it.
Exactly. It prevents that superficial, passive, oh yeah, I get it, feeling. It forces you to stop and actually construct meaning. You have to think, what does this really mean? How does it connect? What am I missing? It forces you to engage with the material on a much deeper level, connecting it to your existing knowledge or identifying clearly what you need clarified.
So it's intentional pause and process time.
Right. And the third principle, which we touched on already, is immediate output or creation. Creating those blog posts and podcasts isn't just a way to document the learning. It is a crucial part of the learning itself.
The teaching principle again.
Yes, it functions like teaching. To create that output, especially something structured like a blog post or a podcast script, you have to organize your thoughts. You need to structure complex ideas logically, maybe simplify them without losing the core meaning, anticipate what an audience might need to know. That requires a significantly higher level of cognitive processing than just remembering facts or even answering questions. It's immense understanding in a really powerful way.
Multimodal. Reflection, immediate output. Seems like a really solid foundation. Now, it does sound like quite a bit of work compared to just hitting play.
Oh, it definitely is more effort, no question.
And Rob Van Linde is very clear about something related to that effort. He warns against a potential pitfall with using AI here. He explicitly says that AI isn't a tool for laziness. You can't just shortcut the process.
That's a critical point. What does he mean by that exactly?
He means you don't just say feed the video transcript to the AI and ask for a summary. Because as he points out, doing that is just the passive approach all over again. You're outsourcing the thinking, not doing it yourself.
Ah, right. That would completely bypass the act of questioning, the reflection, the synthesis, all the parts that actually make the learning stick.
Exactly. It defeats the entire purpose of his hack. Instead, he sees AI in a very different role, not as a shortcut, but as a learning amplifier.
An amplifier, meaning it boosts your own efforts.
Yes. He also calls it a partner in the process, and that infinitely patient expert we talked about, ready for your deep questions. So the AI doesn't replace the work. It enhances it. It makes the act of engagement richer and more productive. It turns what could be a simple, forgettable act of watching a video into this full-fledged learning journey.
That distinction is absolutely crucial for anyone thinking about using AI for learning. It helps us frame the question, how can you, the learner, consciously and actively engage with AI tools to achieve genuinely deeper understanding? It's not about getting information faster or easier in a superficial way.
Right. It's not about speed. It's about depth.
Precisely. It's about leveraging the AI's capabilities, its vast knowledge, its ability to generate examples, analogies, counterarguments to help you explore the complexity, to probe the nuances, to challenge your own assumptions. You use it to grapple more effectively with the material, not to avoid the grappling altogether. It's about treating the AI as a sophisticated tool that can push your thinking and expand your perspective, not as a substitute for your own mental effort. The synergy is key. Your active mind plus the AI's resources.
That's a powerful way to think about it. So wrapping this up, what's the big takeaway for you listening? Rob Van Linde's hack, this whole process, it really provides a kind of blueprint, doesn't it? It shows how combining active learning strategies with the power of AI can fundamentally change how we deal with information.
Absolutely. It's a practical demonstration of moving beyond just being a passive recipient, a sponge that doesn't retain much.
Yeah, no more leaky sponges.
Right. To engaging in this dynamic cycle. You process actively through questions, you synthesize by creating something new, and you solidify by reinforcing it, maybe through another medium like audio. When you do that, the information stops evaporating. It starts to build layer by layer. It becomes part of your actual knowledge base.
It becomes truly yours.
And that connects to the ultimate goal here. It's not just about understanding a topic well enough to pass a test or, you know, sound smart at a dinner party. The real aim with this kind of deep learning is to internalize the knowledge, to make it so deeply integrated that it actually informs how you think and act.
So it becomes usable, applicable knowledge.
Exactly. That's what leads to genuine transformation through knowledge. When what you learn isn't just stored away somewhere, but actively shapes your perspective, helps you solve problems, allows you to create new things, that's when knowledge becomes truly valuable.
Well said. It's about making learning stick and making it matter. So, we want to leave you with the same thought-provoking question that Rob and Linda ends his article with, a question for you to really consider. What's your learning hack? How do you use AI to go deeper, not just faster?
That's a great challenge.
It is. Think about your own learning habits. Where could you inject more active processing, more synthesis, more solidification? How can you embrace what Rob calls the multiplier effect of active learning in your own life? Moving from just watching or just consuming to truly knowing, understanding, and maybe even creating something new yourself.